everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and welcome to Fired Up, your source for conservative talk. As most of you know, politically, I'm a conservative. In today's world, I say I'm a conservative Latino because that's how fractured we are. So I admire Charlie Kirk and how he brought cultures, how he brought different races together through debate to celebrate what makes America great, to show that we are a country of hope where dreams are still possible, but to also change minds, and he was able to do that. Because most young minds want to save the world. We all grow up liberal, wanting to help one another. But many times, most individuals tend to become misguided, especially in today's day and age, by political rhetoric. And what does that rhetoric do? It creates hate and division. When I went through school, as mediocre as I was with my studies, I knew how to critically think. They no longer do. And if I'm wrong, we'll get differing opinions with our guest tonight. But that said, I want his murderer fully punished. No hesitation with me on that. But as the days passed, the anger remains. But I began to realize there's more to this moment than rage. After the killer got caught and we all realized the family was completely blindsided, they were shocked. But they still did the right thing. They convinced the son that he had to turn himself in. And that's not the norm. How many times do we see the parents make every excuse? That's not altruism when you sacrifice yourself to save your child. That's selfishness. Because the murdered individual, that family's suffering, that mother's suffering. So for them to do this is extraordinary in today's day and age. And with that, it made me realize that killer's family themselves are suffering. They're likely asking themselves, what did I miss? What could I have done differently? How did it all come to this? And they say that over and over and over. Shame probably hangs over them heavily. And like Charlie's supporters and family, they're wishing over and over and over that this was nothing more than a bad dream. And while we want to hate on the family, it's sad in the sense that we realize it's our anger and our own formulating and festering hate that we want to see them all punished. And if left unchecked, anger becomes a doorway to evil. I grew up in a fundamentalist household. I broke away from that. My siblings still live it daily. And when we get together, God bless them, I always joke to them when we get into these theocratic discussions or theological, which word is it, discussions, I always tell them, pray for me because I need it. But one thing I know and what I learned from that upbringing, that fundamentalist upbringing, all those Bible lessons, all those church sessions every Sunday, thank you, Mom. I learned that evil doesn't need much. It will walk through any open door the moment it sees an opportunity. Charlie preached forgiveness. I'm not there yet. I'm an old man, and I am more Old Testament. And y'all know what I'm talking about. But I know grudgingly that I'll have to get there. Why? I believe Charlie would have wanted that. And for him, I will do my best. For him and his memory. The truth is, if we don't, our own thoughts could become as dark, as vile, and as evil. And we can't let the darkness win. We must all refuse to let it in. And with that, as you guys probably obviously figured out, our show is going to be on Charlie Kirk tonight again, but from a different perspective. My co-host, G Mangani, and myself, we're going to be a little bit more in the background. As we've got a couple of young minds, we got tomorrow's future. I mean, let's face it, G-Man, we're closer to death statistically than we are to life still, you know? So to listen to tomorrow's leaders, to those who are going to be putting the burden of taxes, of raising the next generation, we want to hear what they think of. And we have two guests. One is Arnie Hernandez. He's a former TPUSA volunteer, and now he's a creative director of the young Republicans. And then we, the other guest is Ingrid Ross, who is the daughter of the beautiful Annette Ross, who we have on here from time to time. And she just graduated from the university not long ago, and she's a conservative as well. So I wanted to bring them on to get their perspective and to see what they think, to see how they feel, and what we, in their minds, think we must do as a country to not only come together, but to press forward as a united front. And more importantly, how do we get there now that their leader, Charlie, is gone? And with that, let me bring them on. First up, let me bring the G-Man on. G, how you doing?
Well, I just want to let you know I'm in my prime.
That hair, that head of hair makes it look that way. Bring on Ingrid and Arnie. And Arnie, you're all black. Is Arnie all black to you guys?
Yeah.
He's black to you, G?
Yeah, I don't see his camera on.
Arnie, turn your camera on and off. Let's see. No? Okay, there's Arnie. Let's try again. There he is. There he is. To the audience, I'm sure you can tell the difference between Ingrid and Arnie there. Y'all don't, I don't think we have any transgenders in the house. But first off, welcome to our podcast. Before we get going, just real quick, your initial thoughts, Ingrid, when you heard that Charlie Kirk had passed or had been assassinated viciously?
Honestly, it was really emotional. I was crying. I didn't know him personally, but I felt like he touched a lot of people, especially in our generation. And even people who didn't agree with him, they were, some of them, open to hearing him. And I thought that was really empowering. And he seemed to be a great person overall, a God-loving person, which I think is essential to have faith in something you believe in, and he didn't deserve what happened to him. So I just think, bottom line, he was a father and a husband and a God-loving individual, and that's really what makes it sad. Not that he had a platform particularly, that's why it got so much media attention, but just he was a person, and he deserved the right to live, and have his humanity taken from him in the way that it was truly terrible.
I totally agree. Arnie, what were your thoughts there when you first heard it? Did you know Charlie? I know you volunteered for TPUSA. Had you had that pleasure to meet Arnie? And real quick, Ingrid's mother, Annette, had met Charlie. You were aware of that, right? Oh, Arnie, now we can't hear you.
Hear me now?
There you go.
There you go. Okay. All right. Regarding my reaction to what happened, it was pretty impactful. I mean, I actually just remember, like, I was actually doing something for work, and then all of a sudden, like, I was getting like a notification from one of my group chats that's that, oh, Charlie Kirk got shot. You guys are going to hear about it soon. I was like, oh, shoot, what the heck? And it was kind of impactful because I actually volunteered for his events, like, two events that you had here in San Diego, one for SDSU and one for UCSD. And I actually took a picture with him twice, which I had the honor to do so, of course. But the fact that he got assassinated was like, it was just like an impact for all of us. I mean, it was very unfortunate what happened. And I just hope he rests in peace, and just peace for his wife and daughter and son.
What about you, G, as an older, and you and I, meaning he's the future, we're trying to hang on. But what are your thoughts in his when he was assassinated?
No, I had heard of him, and I knew that he was very impactful, right, to the community out there, a commentator similar to Ben Shapiro, who's also probably more of the, you know, 30s, age range, that's where Shapiro appeals to, but also the 40s age range. I didn't realize that Charlie Kirk was more of a, you know, youth, like his impact was that far reaching. I mean, I knew he would go on campus, knew he was having debates with people and having people who disagreed with him to the front of the line. But when the assassination occurred, I'm sitting there going, this is not good. Like, what is this show to the youth, right, and the next generation? And then I started seeing people's Instagram page, and I'm talking like high schoolers saying rest in peace. My son, 16, I had no idea that he knew who Charlie Kirk was, but he knew who he was. So a lot of people had heard of him, and I don't think my son had political opinions, but what's interesting is I think he's affected by it, and he's going, what the heck? Why would they try to shut this guy up? He's just giving an opinion, and everyone has a right to one. But now he's seeing that, no, this is the way of the world, and America is unique, and America has a choice here, right? It can either go the way of the world where you silence voices, or you keep unique freedom of speech. So, I was shocked and really heartbroken when I heard, 2 hours later that he had actually passed away. Because the whole time I'm hoping he'll pull through. Unfortunately, I saw the video on X, and I kind of knew that video. After seeing that video, what happened the first 5 seconds, I'm like, this guy is not going to pull through.
Right. You know, for me, his death was consequential. Some people are comparing him to MLK. I spoke to a friend of mine who's black, and he doesn't know Charlie Kirk. He wasn't offended, but he was like, really? I go, yes, to this generation, he was their MLK because he created a movement. Thousands of chapters across the campuses in America. A few hundred thousand volunteers and workers. About 250 employees who were training up. When you looked at his, somebody showed his first tweet at the time, like 20 retweets, 50 views, and now it's in the millions upon millions upon millions. And he directly impacted Donald Trump's rise, not only just in 2020, but also this past election. And I truly believe without the youth vote, with all the corruption out there, I won't get into that aspect, he may not have won. So I can see that. And I just told a friend of mine, I said, look, you don't get to, that friend I was speaking to, you don't get to determine who is a martyr. I don't view Malcolm X as a martyr, you know, but you do. History dictates who a martyr is, their moments, their movements that they begin, you know. And I'm not talking AOC bow movement. I'm talking about a real movement of people to make a difference. And Charlie did that. And so I view his death on a higher level than I view even Andrew Breitbart. And Andrew Breitbart, for those of you who don't remember, I want to say right around what? I can't even remember when he passed, but 2010, 12, 13, 14, right around there. He was the first conservative to begin standing up to the left. The left would scream racism or call him names. He would go, prove it. I'll give you $100,000. Anybody shows a video where you're saying I said that. And I'll never forget that. Nobody could produce a video because what he did is he showed that they would just use that to shut the conversation down. And he was the first one to get that going. He got Breitbart going. And Breitbart's been maligned since then. Why? The same reason Charlie Kirk was maligned. When people change minds, when they're able to come in and make an actual difference versus talking to the echo chamber like we all do most of the time, that's what they can't stand. That's what they can't tolerate. Any thoughts on G and I's take there, Ingrid?
I mean, I totally agree. And I think for a group of people to consider themselves to be tolerant individuals, when it comes to anybody with the opposing views or values, they don't want to hear it. And I think regardless of politics, you need to stand and have your own morals and beliefs, whether it be religious or not, just be a good person and a good human and have sympathy and understanding for people and perspective. And I do believe Charlie Kirk had that. And people, like you said, they don't really like that he was changing minds and he was allowing other people who he didn't agree with to speak and debate, yes, respectfully. And I think that made it really hard for people to accept and unfortunately resulted in violence, which is not what he stood for.
Exactly, exactly. Let's get real quick into the perpetrator, the assassin. Tyler Robinson, 22 years old. He was arrested. Today. He was arrested today. And again, a family member tipped off the authorities after he allegedly confessed to somebody. The authorities haven't told us anything about a confession yet. but he's being charged with aggravated murder. A weapon was recovered, supposedly wrapped in a towel near the scene. And Discord revealed the premeditation. That's important. All these texts, these Discord, a couple of lawyers were saying he's done. They don't need him to confess. He's already, they have the actual evidence of what he said. The bullet case scenes included, hey, fascist, catch. You know, meaning catch the bullet. And we're not going to talk about, but just to give G a reminder, last episode we have, which I found odd, a couple libertarians stressing emotion and feelings over facts. That blew me away, you know, with how transgenders would feel when I brought up the fact that like 6 or 7 of the last murders like this have been done by transgenders, and they wanted to go to some insignificant stat using 2013 on. The reason I bring that up, I can't remember what the term is, and we're not going to discuss it, but to the audience, the term of the bullet that shot him is actually a furry term that deals with transgender. And I haven't had much time to look into it, and I will maybe for a future episode, but I wanted to bring that to this kid was may not have been there or was obviously radicalized coming from a conservative family. And Ingrid, I've had conversations with your mom about your sister out in New York, you know, and the university systems and how they indoctrinate. Right now, the left is trying to portray this individual. Well, he's conservative. You know, most parents today, I've had too many conversations to count where people have asked me, William, what do I do? Because I'm conservative, you know, and I'm outspoken. My kid went to college, a liberal, you know, and is now a conservative. So, and he was technically unaffiliated, was not registered at all, where his parents were staunch conservatives. However, that said, and gee, I want you to chime in first. We've seen it, too many examples of kids going, becoming radicalized, uber leftists, and I think that's how Mamdani's winning. It's those kids are the base of his foundation to get the vote out. Your thoughts on that, and then I want to get Ingrid and Arnie's thoughts in terms of what they're seeing on campus in terms of liberalism and the far left right now.
Yeah, there's an idealism, right, that is with the youth, where they want no more wars, no more poverty, et cetera, things that will always happen and you can never solve, right? And so there's this idea that, well, if you – in liberal universities, well, most universities, they can tap on that, tap into that and say, okay, well, we can push our political agenda through, you know, exploiting their ideology. And so, yeah, they get radicalized and they come out of college not thinking straight. And if you think of through, you know, you think through government overthrows in the last several hundred years, the ones done by older people, let's say the American Revolution, it really goes stable and smooth. But then if you think of ones that are done by younger people, and I'm talking about the Russian Revolution, like, you know, Pol Pot, those guys were a bunch of, you know, postgraduate radicals, and they don't like intellectuals, right? Because the intellectuals.
Well, actually, Jimmy, you're right. No, you're right on the first spot there. Here's what people don't realize that came up with my research. A lot of you mentioned Pol Pot and others and Mamdani. It's the intellectuals who are lost that tend to lead the front. So you were right. The studies have shown these are the smarter people, you know, who get these started. Keep going.
Yeah, but if you just look at history, right, then it's the younger groups like, you know, the Mao's and the Mao movement in China. It's like those go off the rails and become authoritarian really quick because the older ones that kind of foster that movement, they take advantage. They call, I think Hitler called his group the useful idiots, right? It's the younger people that do the bidding for them and then they're able to amass power. So, yeah, absolutely. I think college, in terms of sending my kids there, I have to like inoculate them or vaccinate them with, you know, keep your mind open and realize that they're going to try to push their ideas onto you, as they did on. They tried with me, and it didn't work with me when I went to college.
Yeah. So to the audience, that is a picture of the young man who was radicalized, Tyler Robinson, and that's the first and last time I'm going to show him. So Ingrid. Your experience in college in regards to dealing with ideology, you're a conservative. How did you deal with that? Did you keep it hidden or did politics weren't your thing in that sense? Or are we right in saying that we think that's where they're radicalizing these individuals?
Yes, I do. And personally, I believe I went to a pretty liberal school, but that was never an issue for me because I found my group of people and I never talked about politics that much in class unless it was called for. Like, I was a philosophy minor, so we did discuss God and those things and politics as well, but not in the current state, more so in the past states. But I do think it's dangerous for young kids to go to a college and develop this mob mentality where they need to be a part of a group. They need to feel like they're doing something bigger and better and protesting. And sometimes protesting is great and it's peaceful and it's led people and civilizations to good, but I think it can also lead to negative, and it's important to know what you're backing. And I think a lot of people lack evidence and facts and they just want to be a part of something.
Right, right. And just to give an example in terms of the mob mentality, I've seen that in various countries, once or twice up close. But in Brazil, the police were not taking action. And the poor districts were like, we've had enough. And they were taking justice into their own hands. And I read this documented story. The girl accused a guy of raping her, and she pointed to the wrong guy, and they killed him. And that was more often – that happened more than once down in Brazil. So, and we saw the BLM riots here. You saw Captain Doran there in St. Louis get murdered. So you're right, Ingrid. The mob violence, and to G's point, they count on that mob violence. The leaders of these actions, they know you get that emotional hate riled up, and then studies have been done. Something happens to the individual. They're overcome. Some don't even remember what they did later on when they calm down. Most just have immense regret right afterwards. Still doesn't change the damage. Arnie, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, regarding like just like you know, going to Turning Point, I've actually been to America Fest, actually Turning Point's biggest conservative convention since 2022. My God, it feels like a political like Coachella. That's how it really feels like when you go there.
Like, oh, really?
Yep, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I really recommend going to America Fest, which is why it was going to be in this December, which Erica Kirk reaffirmed it's actually going to happen this December. So if you guys get the chance to go, I recommend going. But anyway, yeah, I've been to America Fest ever since 2022. And you can honestly feel like you can feel the energy. You can feel the optimism. You can honestly feel like that there's actually hope for the country. Like, you know, obviously there's things going on that makes you lose hope for America. But being around these young people, and Charlie Kirk, you know, may he rest in peace, he actually inspired a lot of young people to, you know, like, don't give up, make a difference in your country. Even if it's something little, it would contribute to a huge difference. And honestly, a lot of those people being around you, it uplifts you to actually continue fighting. And it actually makes you feel better that there's actually people that think the same way as you. You know, me being like, you know, a millennial, of course, you know, there's millennials and Gen Zs that go to this convention. But yeah, just being around these people coming from nationwide, by the way, it makes you feel a little more better that, wow, there's actually someone else that thinks exactly the same thing as I do, you know?
Well, you said something that's important. For many, until the internet came around, I thought I was, what's that term, alone in the wilderness or something. Then I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, my God, there's 10 zillion of conservative Latinos out there, you know? Mm-hmm. Then I met actually Arnie through Lexit. But, Arnie, real quick. I'm talking about, what about, like, Ingrid says she found her tribe.
Yeah.
She didn't have to wander 4 years like Moses did 40 years. She found her tribe and settled in. What about you, though? What did you see on campus, and how did you deal with it? Because from that perspective, real quick.
Oh, so from that perspective, yeah. So, like, obviously, you know, not going off track, of course, to answer your question. But, like, yeah, I mean, obviously, when I was in school, like, I mean, I went from 2012 to 2018 to college at Cal State San Marcos. So, like, just, like, being there, like, I mean, you kind of had to be, like, low-key about your beliefs. Because my university was, like, a minority-serving institution. So, obviously, they definitely gave a lot of privileges, you know, to the whole, you know, liberal ideology and things like that. The victim mentality. So, right, obviously, you couldn't just go on campus wearing a MAGA hat. Just me being Hispanic, I would get lynched. Oh, God forbid, of course. This, I mean, good thing that never happened. But still, being in that kind of environment at the time, I could never really be, like, open about my beliefs, you know, being pro-life, being conservative, or anything like that. So it was just like, I mean, just being on your own, viewing things on your own online. But I didn't really feel like there was like a community on campus, to be honest, with, because I think Turning Point, I think they were barely setting up a chapter. There's like, I didn't really, you know, get in contact with them or anything like that. It was more after I graduated, especially after the election in 2020. That's when I got more exposed to, you know, like conservative politics, especially the way it was changing through Turning Point. So I would definitely say it was definitely more after I graduated that I got more exposed to that. I found my tribe through that.
Okay, so Erica, you being young, I'm sure you probably saw some Turning Point stuff there. Based on being a young conservative, what type of changes do you think Turning Point needs to make moving forward to keep the momentum, to keep growing, to stay safe? What comes to mind when that question is posed? I'm sorry, I said Erica. I've been angry.
That wasn't true. I actually know of Turning Point because I had an old lacrosse coach who now has been working with them, and that was kind of my first introduction, not through school or anything like that. But it's really difficult right now. I'm not sure how they're going to handle this, but I feel Charlie Kirk was obviously the face of that organization. And not just because he was the founder, but also because of his impact on the internet and like his debates. I am not trying to be negative in any way. I think he was such a special human being, and I'm going to be completely shocked if they're able to replace him with anyone in any way that will have that same impact, just because he was an intellect and his ability to debate and talk to people and get an audience and people to listen, that's just not an easy thing to do. So I think focus on his legacy and, like you said, about America Fest, events like that, and just continue using his platform of Turning Point and whoever was right directly underneath him that knew him well and personally, I think would be a respectful way to go about continuing on what he wanted.
Right. No, I agree with that. What about you, G-Man? What do you think Turning Point needs to do if you were an advisor to them as an old man?
Well, they need to keep the mission going, but they need to find someone who's articulate that has the energy to reach out to younger people. But here's the thing. Movements are, what would you say, personality-based. So he was, like Ingrid said, the face of the movement. So I think a lot of that was his art. I mean, he was very articulate, right? So, and he was quick-witted, right? And he would be able to respond to questions on the fly, even from the harshest critics out there. So they need to find someone like that. I think Ben Shapiro's great, and I know he's done similar things in the past. I think Charlie Kirk actually took Ben Shapiro's model and just, like, put it on caffeine and went to many campuses. But I believe during the Obama regime, Ben Shapiro went out there and he also did Q&As and he's very articulate as well. So, but you just got to find someone. Look, Rush Limbaugh, I listened to that guy again in the 90s. I thought, am I the only one listening to this guy? I can't be. I mean, he's on thousands of radio stations, but when he passed on, you know, nobody on the radio has really taken up the mantle since then. But it's kind of fractured into all these other small guys out there, right, doing things on YouTube. And so, right, you know, when you're not listening to Rush for 3 hours a day, you have more time to listen to all these other guys on YouTube. So maybe it's one of those guys who picks up the mantle. But I tell you, when a kernel of seed falls to the ground and dies, others spring up, right? That's a saying of Jesus, and I believe that will happen.
You know, it's. I agree with all of you, but to take what you said and expand on it a bit, you can't look for a replacement for Charlie Kirk. You could not look for a replacement for Rush Limbaugh. In fact, I just saw a video today and I wanted to post it, but I just ran out of time. When Charlie first came on the scene, Rush was praising him, saying this kid's got a long political future. He's articulate. His Socratic style of debate tends to win literally every time. But I don't think you're going to replace him. I think what you're going to have to do is uplift those who want to be uplifted, and some will keep growing. Some will fall to the wayside. That, you know, as far as radio to replace Rush, we got Dan Bongino, we got Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. We got a whole plethora. And if you can make incremental changes across the board, that can be as good as one man making a change. So let's get to some of the hate. I don't know how you guys have been dealing with it. I'm not going to say it's tough, but it makes me cringe at times. You know, I want to focus. If we talked hate, we could talk 20 hours straight and not get through it. I want to focus on the term fascism, fascist. And the reason I want to focus on that is because the bullet said, catch this fascist or fascist catch this. The reason I want to focus on that is it's key to this case in terms of the political battle we're facing. But before we get to that, I just want to note some how they malign Charlie, what they've said over the last day and a half. So I'm going to run through a few of these here. Share. Oop, I'm going to do the window. The window will be much quicker. So here's one here. The New York Times, they issued a correction, buried the correction. An earlier version of this article described incorrectly an anti-Semitic statement that Charlie Kirk had made on an episode of his podcast. He was quoting a statement from a post on social media and went in to critique it. It was not his own statement. My point there is this is a classic tactic. You know, when somebody's quoting something or reading for something, they put that in the individual's words. Stephen King. He advocated stoning gays to death, just saying. Stephen King apologized. And I bet you Stephen King apologized because Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, said, who's all for the Kirk family suing him? Because Charlie never said that. King quickly apologized, and he quickly deleted that post. Now, I want to show this video here, a couple of videos here, and I'm going to get all your guys' thoughts on these videos here and everything we're doing. So just bear with me. This here is a former Republican, Joe Walsh. This is what I mean by rhetoric, and this is why I got so angry the other night. G can tell you, I usually keep my cool, and I did keep my cool, but I did not hold back in pushing back. It's because this is the type of rhetoric we hear.
Amen. A fucking men. New York Governor Kathy Hochul, this is a war. We are at war. Gloves are off. Bring it on.
History will judge us on how we respond to this moment. This is a war. We are at war. And that's why the gloves are off, and I say bring it on.
Amen, Governor.
I mean, you just can't make that up. You know, let's go to, I want to show the hate. Are you guys aware of what Blue Sky is?
Yes.
Blue Sky, Ingrid, has become the leftist platform of hate. They're all leftists there. J.D. Vance, it didn't even take 3 minutes before they banned him. You know, they immediately just banned him. You know, now the powers that be, Jack, what's his name? Because the guy who does Blue Sky is the guy who owned, X.
Jack Dorsey.
Jack Dorsey probably said that, what the hell are y'all doing? And they reinstated him. But it's an echo chamber. This is some of the posts they are showing on there. Where's it at? Uh-oh, did I delete that one? 1 second. There it is. Maybe Elon should be next. Just asking for half the country. But look at the responses. Elon next, please. Praying Elon is next. Elon next, Elon next, Elon. Yeah, you know, next to Elon. That's the norm. I'm not exaggerating. You don't believe me, people? Go to Blue Sky and see how long you can stomach it. So with that said, I do want to show that maybe we are pushing back. This was a Utah governor when he came on, and he said this, which kind of surprised me, but it's true. And what more politicians need to say. Let's get to that one.
I think the clearest one that says catch fascist, there's not
and by the way, that's like catch like a ball, catch this. I think that speaks for itself.
What he's saying there is stop with the nonsense. That says who and what he was. He was he viewed Charlie Kirk as a fascist. Now, we all know the media plays this game. Oh, that's not what they meant. Or this, or we've never said that. Prove me wrong. Am I right or wrong? That's pretty much what they say or do. You guys are going to be, and I'll let this run to the end because I'm going to acknowledge the guy who put this together. This is incredible. Arnie, you're going to be orgasming with a wet dream later tonight when you see this, wishing you could have come up with it. But watch this. And then I'll get everybody's opinions here. God, I need to figure out how to do this better. This is incredible here. And some of y'all may have seen it, but check this out. This is the term fascism or fascist. This is what was on the bullet. This is what I call rhetoric that lets the unhinged take the next level, which I believe is what Democrats want.
Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
This is what kicking the shit out of fascism looks like.
Try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us.
So when we say Donald Trump is a fascist, fascism, a huge component of fascism, is uniting racism, bigotry, a form of racist nationalism.
We are now living in a fascist dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. We are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. We're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government.
Not only to roll over to Donald Trump's will, but to roll over our democracy and allow him to take over this country as a fascist dictator.
When fascism isn't just coming, it's already here.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said, "No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core."
Western Lensman. Got to give the guy credit. You can follow him at Western Lensman. That's how I found it. I follow him. Real quick, I want to give the definition of fascism. Fascism is an authoritarian. That's why I got my glasses on. Ultra-nationalist political ideology that prioritizes the nation or race above the individual. That's what the left does. You know, they put everybody above the Anglo right now when we should all be equal. But they also demand absolute loyalty to a centralized autocratic leader. Democrats want to centralize power for themselves, you know, whereas we want limited government. We want an equal society. G said this last week to Arnie and Ingrid. Both of us have been more welcome, me as a Latino, once I found out, and G, by conservatives than we ever had with Democrats, you know. If they want a centralized autocratic leader, which is what they want, I mean, they would have made Obama king. And they use force to suppress opposition. BLM, this killer right now. Fascists suppress speech they can't control. And Charlie Kirk's assassination, that's the ultimate act of suppression. When Tyler Robinson couldn't silence Kirk's ideas, he silenced Kirk the man. That's fascism. Real quick, we'll start with you, Ingrid. Your thoughts on any of what I showed you, but at least give me your thoughts on that mass video of Democrats using that rhetoric. And to me, that rhetoric validates this: what this kid did is partially because of that.
Yes, I agree. And I was also seeing a lot of people talking about how using those words and, like you said, that rhetoric, it kind of allows for the violence in a way, because it's so anti-people and what Charlie Kirk stood for, which was just speaking your mind and in a non-violent way. And it's really disturbing to see people cheering on what happened or even being in support of such violence, which is, again, also allegedly what the left is against. Like, they are tolerant of all people, and they accept everyone and love everyone until that person no longer aligns with what they believe, and they're not really willing to hear many people out. And again, it's just important to educate, like, what is the definition of fascism, and it's almost ignorant in a sense. Being in America should be a privilege. And we do have that democracy where we're able to vote people in. We don't have one person as president for 40 years. You know, there's things other countries have where they're really in a place of, you know, being a minority and they don't have rights. And women are actually forced to marry and they're put in situations that are terrible, and they have no right and they have nothing. They have nothing to vote for. And we're here saying we don't have that, and we're experiencing that oppression when we're not.
Exactly. So. Oh yeah. You hit it on the head. That's why I'm so conservative. I was American citizen, but I was raised in Panama my formative years. And like, you fools have no clue what you're throwing away. You know, but Ingrid, just warn you, you know, you got to be careful about these arranged marriages. We got the G-man who is of Indian descent in the house there. I'm kidding. Arnie, your thoughts on that fascist video? Anything you want to talk about in terms of the videos I saw? But I'd like to specifically hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the whole fascism, like the scare tactic of the left, I mean, it's pretty silly. Because, like, even Trump himself, like, he's actually acted more moderate compared to, like, how the media has painted him to be, pretty much. Like, I mean, even when it comes to, like, whole immigration policy, domestic policy, he's acted more moderate than he even campaigned then in 2024. So to the point where you're calling him fascist and that GOP fascist is just, like, a statement out of reality. It doesn't make any sense, you know?
Right, but let me push back against you. That's the problem we have, is that attitude. Oh, that's silly, that's this. I'm not saying you do, but we've blown it off for so long that we see the reality, but a whole generation no longer does. And when I say generation, I don't mean just the young kids. I mean, look at the hippies. The hippies are the ones now in charge. When you see all these protests over the last few years, they're all blue-haired, gray-haired, old white people. Those are the hippies from the 60s, you know? So Arnie, you're right in terms of the reality, but they don't see that. Because of this rhetoric, and I think that's the problem. Gee, let me give you some phrases here, some quotes. Then you give me your thoughts on the video and these quotes. Well, here we go. Joe Biden, it's semi-fascism in regards to Trump. Alex AOC, we're living in fascism. Bernie Sanders, Trump is fascist. Jamal Bowman, who luckily was thrown out as congressional rep, if y'all don't remember him, he's the guy who pulled the fire alarm in Congress and then denied it till the film came out. He sat there and said Republicans use fascist tactics. The infamous Maxine Waters, Trump is a dictator of fascists. The influencers, Robert Little Man Reich. You know, I can say that he's even shorter than me. Trump's GOP is now fascist party. You know, Michael Moore, you know, he's a great filmmaker. You got to give him his due. We are living under a fascist regime. Howard Dean, once the DNC chair and once the candidate, I want to say 92 or 2000 for the 2004 for the Democrat nomination. This is fascism, pure and simple. Gee, first up, your thoughts on that. But more importantly, why doesn't Trump fit that fascist mold?
Well, so, you know, we've all been asked the hypothetical, or many of us have, like, if you could go back to Germany 1932, and you know that if Hitler lives, 50 to 100 million people are going to die. So what do? Well, of course, you're going to take a bullet and try to take Hitler out, right? Or if you can go back to 1889, and there's baby Hitler in the crib, like, okay, well, I don't want to do this, but you'll save 50 million to 100 million people's lives. So what is some nut job out there going to think when maybe he's not part of the Democratic Party? Maybe he's undeclared like Tyler Robinson is. When you hear this from the leaders of one of the major parties, and I'm not talking one or two leaders, I'm talking like you just read the main leaders, AOC.
Yeah, these are the key figures, not some
Joe Biden.
Yeah, not some guy with four followers. You know that my friend tried to bring up last week.
Yeah, and then Kamala Harris ran her whole campaign. He's going to be dictator on day one, and then if you turn on MSNBC for at least 3 minutes, you're going to hear the word fascist and dictator. So, what do you think a nutjob's going to do when he hears that? He's going to go to the hypothetical and goes, before 100 million people die, I better take matters into my own hands. So is Trump that? No, because when the courts actually jump in and say, you can't do that, well, what does Trump do? He hires lawyers and says, okay, well, I'm going to file a suit and work it out in the courts, just like our democracy allows. He doesn't sit there and say, okay, well, we're going to rise up these young people and, you know, burn cities down. Look, Charlie Kirk was assassinated. How many buildings were burned down? Businesses looted? None. I mean, that's the way of the right, right? We'll take things in an intellectual way and discuss, and, you know, thoughts and prayers, which is, you know, kind of the Christian way. And by the way, I wanted to say this earlier, but there was a TikTok of a woman here in San Diego, and she mocked the thoughts and prayers, and she was laughing that Charlie Kirk died. And she's like, I'm going to get my thoughts and prayers, and laughing. Well, they doxed her. They found out the business that her husband runs, and they totally went to the Yelp page and said thoughts and prayers, and shut down the Yelp page. So this guy's business has been canceled, and this is the kind of culture that I'm okay with canceling, right? Because a few years ago, they were canceling people for not taking the COVID vaccine.
Yep.
But this is, you're canceling people, you're firing people because they're celebrating death. And it's like, wait a minute, that's not the kind of character we want at our company, or that's not the kind of contractor I want in my house fixing my plumbing or electrical systems. And that's the kind of cancel culture I'm okay with, because we want good people. We don't want people celebrating assassinations and deaths.
You know, and they try to sit there and claim that Trump is against free speech. Oh, he wouldn't let this reporter into the Oval Office. That's actually a privilege. There's 10 zillion reporters. We are getting the news. You know, he tried to kick Jim Acosta out because he was a rude penis, you know? And there were still a zillion other people. So he's never suppressed free speech. But who has? The Democrats have done their best to try to suppress free speech with the social media platform. Remember? And all media. They use Twitter to suppress the New York Post by canceling them and banning them from X or not showing the Hunter Biden laptop. And we all know how the Biden administration threatened Facebook. So Trump, the COVID policies, why can't he do this nationwide? Because he respected the state's rights to do what they could. So they use this term fascist, and it's nothing but one lie after another. Ingrid, let's bring Arnie back on. Arnie's playing hide and seek with us. So Ingrid, tell me your thoughts on this is oxymoron of a question, but what would what would Charlie Kirk have wanted? You know, would he be preaching forgiveness to this individual? Would he go Old Testament? He was a biblical fella. You know, I want to go Old Testament. I will eventually find my way to look past this and move forward in a positive manner. But I'm Old Testament, which means an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And I believe you can be a good Christian and wish that, because you have to set the example. You have to set the standard. What are your thoughts in terms of this and anger and the evil that I opened up with at the monologue?
Well, one thing about it, I think, is that people, like how you said about the clips and clipping things and people not taking the time to look into what was actually said. And the problem is that people are so quick to anger, and people need to take a look in the mirror and sit back and just think about what that says about them and not the other person. Because there's no reason to do that. Like I saw Tucker Carlson say, you either believe in God or you think you're God. And for someone to take this action, which I believe it's just the tip of the iceberg, I think there's always more to it. I think there's always these echo chambers and epistemic bubbles that are encouraging one another, whether that be on Discord or wherever else. It's really hard to do this completely isolated and alone, you have to have some sort of sociopathic tendencies to air everything out, know you're doing this in front of a bunch of people, and also then be okay with just fleeing the scene. Like, there's no human normal behavior there. And I feel like just by saying, you know, you believe in God or you think you're God, if you're a Christian or anyone of religion, you believe in a higher power, not that you are that higher power. So I do see both perspectives of forgiveness, but I also see the eye for an eye. And I think in a situation like this, I don't know my stance on that. I think it's just, it's deranged, and it's a terrible example for anyone.
I think that we all want to be good people. We don't want to see it come to this. And how do you stop this from happening? Enforce the freaking laws. If we would just enforce the laws, if we would go back to teaching instead of indoctrinating, none of this would be happening. We'd have saner minds. This is a product that began once the 60s revolution happened. Our school education really hit the toilet, especially from the university systems on down. The victim mentality came in. The analogy I'd like to put is how parents raise kids. The 60s, we discovered Dr. Spock. And Dr. Spock, not the Star Trek character, but the psychiatrist or psychologist or doctor, I can't remember which one, saying, no, you do not spank your kids. You do not do this for your kids. You do not do this. You need to do this, to do this, to do this, to do this. All that has proven to be nothing but failure after failure after failure because you're coddling the child. You have to have tough love with strong emotional mother and father bonding love and happiness. And that's what we don't have. So you couldn't answer the question, because I think sometimes it's tough to answer the question. We really want this, but we know we can't have that because it's bad. I truly want an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I want to see this guy burn slowly in the public square as he's stoned to death. But I know that's wrong, you know? I know, and they do that in some people, but I know it's wrong. So that puts us in a dilemma, Ingrid. And what's sad is Democrats use that against us so much. That's why we're not out on the streets raging against stores, hurting other people. If I went into a store, my first thought would be, man, some poor guy owns this, you know? You know, we're at most camp. Let's get Arnie back in here and get his thoughts on it. Arnie, what are your thoughts? What would Charlie Kirk have wanted? And let me add to that is, as a Latino, what has TPUSA meant to you as a conservative with a Latino? You found your tribe, and but more importantly, I do know, I met Arnie at Lexit. Lexit, they don't say it, but Lexit is what I would call a fundamental group. I didn't always agree with the belief, a certain thought process. I'm like, it's positive. We got to work with these people. I don't like it, but we got to work with them, you know? Whereas Lexit was a bit more stringent. So faith is strong in Arnie like it is in my relatives, and you should be proud of that. So I want your perspective on the forgiveness or an eye for an eye. You don't have to answer if you don't know it, but also, what has TPUSA meant to you as a Latino? Because I'm going to show pictures here of mostly blacks, but heck, just a couple days ago on our show, they tried to paint him as more pro-white than anything, which to me was farthest from the truth. You have the floor, my friend.
Yeah, so like, as a Hispanic, I mean, just being a part of a Turning Point, you know, volunteering, going to these conventions, I definitely do feel like I am part of a community where I can just call myself an American. Like, I mean, because, you know, like, obviously, unfortunately, you know, for the Democrats and all, they like to drive on the victim mentality.
Go ahead. That's a picture. Did you freeze, Arnie? Oh, Arnie froze on us. All right, G.
He's having technical problems all night. No, I can give you my thought on this. I mean, part of me wants to see blood, right? Because that this whole situation makes me angry. At the same time, that makes me just like him, right? And in a sense, it does. Because ideally, what happens is he needs to pay for his crime, and I think that would be at the very least life in prison. But I'd like to see him go and reflect on his life and go, okay, you know what? This is the wrong thing. And for any other people out there who might decide, okay, well, I want to do something similar and view this guy as a hero, like people see Luigi Mangione. A lot of people see him as a hero. And it's like, no, we need to make examples out of these guys, but hopefully they see the error of their ways. And while they're in jail for the rest of their lives, they can preach what's true. And that's, you know, don't let anger take over, and don't let, you know, left-wing ideology take over, and don't do anything remotely crazy like this, and have civil discourse and debate. And we can disagree. That's fine. So that's kind of my take, is a hybrid of eye for an eye. It's probably more like eyelid for an eye, while forgiving and saying, look, I hope you see there a few ways. And he's going to get justice in prison. I think there will be people going, why? I think even prisoners know, like, freedom of speech is important. And this was not only a shot against Charlie Kirk, but he shot him through the throat so he couldn't speak anymore. And that was symbolic of, okay, I'm trying to shoot free speech because I don't like the opposing ideas.
Right, I agree. Arnie, we're going to try to bring you on, so you got to be quick. Arnie's just told us he's glitching. So pretend you're on the campaign trail. You've been given 30 seconds. Oh, Arnie, those young Republicans need to put some money into your computer setup. Here we go. Let's give it another shot. All right, Arnie, you're on. You got to be quick before you die on us.
I know. It's like he keeps just disconnecting and connecting. Like, I don't know what's going on. Well, like, I mean, no, I mean, like, do you want me to repeat my last answer? Or?
Well, we heard that as a Latino, you feel like you're at home, and you brought up a great point. That because Arnie brought up a great point to is I say conservative Latino, but I get sick. It disgusts me to say that because I'm a freaking American. But because of the political ideological wars, I want people to understand we're not all leftists. And that's what you were saying as well, Arnie. Go ahead. Go on.
Correct. And also the reason, like, you know, I mean, one of the reasons why I'm registered as a Republican, because the Democrats would like to use the statistics like, oh, you know, look at all the Hispanics here. Hey, we stand up for the Hispanics. We're the champions of Hispanics. But at the same time, they keep screwing up the Hispanic community with the policies that they promote, you know, such as abortion, the economic oppression, like to not let them go move ahead in life, to pursue the American dream, to promote the victimology. I mean, this is one of the reasons why they want to be a statistic. That's the reason why I registered with the Republican Party, which, you know, and the Republican Party, of course, aligns more with my.
Well, he's left us on a cliffhanger there. Arnie, we'll wait for you to get back. Real quick, because we're going to close the show out here. What does the youth movement politically mean to you, Ingrid, in conjunction with what Charlie Kirk has done? And what did Charlie Kirk kind of mean for you?
Well, I think right now it's about good and evil, and I'm focused less on the political aspect and more on the faith aspect and getting humanity and society back to being civil again and understanding, gaining perspective of one another, having that empathy for one another, and just trying to be moral human beings, regardless of your faith or your political beliefs, but just being a good human and trying to learn from one another. And I do believe Charlie Kirk was trying to educate people, bottom line, whether it be on his own beliefs. He was never trying to tell anyone what to do, but more so let them know this is how I live and it's worked really well for me and you should try it, because it worked well for him and he was a great person. So, you know, hopefully he can, that legacy, and it seems that it's doing a great job because he's already gained, unfortunately, from this tragic event, a lot of people have now seen, and it's shed light on some of the negatives in the left-wing party. And I think people are coming to realize, especially the youth, all the good that he was trying to do, and they're actually now listening, which is sad that that might be what it took for people to understand that, but it will make an impact. And I think that's the only good that could even come from a situation so terrible.
Well said. All right, let's try once more here. Arnie, finish your thoughts and then tell us what Charlie Kirk means to you and what we should do moving forward. I hate to say it, but you got a few seconds before you die on us. Go.
Yeah, no, again, no worries. Well, what Charlie Kirk means to me is like basically an inspirational figure, like an inspiration for courage, an inspiration for hope, and an inspiration for leadership. Like, I mean, he was the same age as me. Like, I'm 31. He was 31 when he passed away, so obviously, like, seeing him pass away, meeting him twice was like, I mean, it was a big impact to me. It kept my mind, like, you know, in a really bad kind of mood. But to me, he was definitely the light for the upcoming fight that's going to come along ahead, you know? Like, with Gen Z and millennials, we're going to be the future, and he's going to be like our spiritual guide that will inspire us for more in the future. So that's what he means to me.
What about you, G-Man?
Yeah, it feels like, you know, I loved history. And it seems like countries move basically always towards authoritarianism and control under one central leader. And it takes like real courageous people to say, no, we're going to fight back against that. And, you know, like we talk about fascism, that's the thing of the left. The thing of the right is always freedom, right? And we're always fighting for less government. And Ronald Reagan was one of the, you know, he was the older Charlie Kirk of the day, saying, look, small government is the answer, less intrusion, and let us live our own lives. And the other thing Charlie preached was faith, right? And faith is God gave us the ability to live here and self-govern. And that's what democracy is. Can we self-govern? This is, you know, the last 250 years are an experiment. And I still believe that because eventually it's not going to last and we're going to slide into some kind of authoritarian regime. So whenever you have like guys, young guys, which is inspiring, young guys to rise up and say, look, no, freedom is the way to go. Then we kind of keep that rock skipping along the top of the water for at least another generation, which I think is amazing. So I hope the next Charlie Kirk, you know, comes up from somewhere and inspires the youth. It's important to keep that rock skipping along.
Right. So Charlie Kirk to me, here's the one good, one of my very few good traits that people say I have is I don't care what your age is. I don't care what my age is. I can learn from you. And he was a once in a generation entrepreneur, a man of faith. He saw his goal and he went straight to achieve it, knowing the sacrifice he would need to make in time, effort, and he still maintained his love of God, his love of man, and his love of family. So to me, he was inspiring. One reason I started Grumblings Media with Big John, I just said, I've had enough. If he can do it, I can do it. But I said it in a good way, you know? It's like, I'm going to do it instead of waffling for years. He fought you in a Socratic style, but with the data. He would let you speak your mind. I remember somebody said or a video clip, I saw it. What, you hate Charlie on this or this or this? You go to the front of the line. I remember hearing that more than once. And then he would let the person decide. He wouldn't hammer them. Very few times did he embarrass the person only because they were being denigrating towards him. And he fought for everyone. And he was beloved by all. This is what irked me 2 days ago. To improve ourselves, and I learned this from my mom, from sports coaches, especially sports, you know, and then from business and in the military. If you want to improve, you got to look at yourself in the mirror. And when Charlie would pull up all these data, he was telling my brethren Latinos, he was telling Black America, look at the data. We've got to work together to improve this because he's like, I don't care that you're committing crime. That's wrong. But why? What can we do to help? What can we do to come together? And to me, the answer is always obvious. The schooling system is owned by Democrats. And that's why my brother and minorities literally are dying on the vine. And it takes, as you said, it takes a strong person to do that. It takes a lot of courage because not anymore, but because of the internet. But there was a time they called you racist. You shut up and they would end the conversation. You know, and when I say racism, I'm not talking just racism economically, you know, culturally, politically. There's various layers of that. And he just wanted to challenge you to show you this is what they're teaching you. This is what you're thinking. But here's the real American values. And if you do this and do this or work towards this direction and you have God in your life, you can succeed. And that's why I love them, because that's inspirational. You know, that's him standing alone on a hill at 18 years. How many 18-year-olds, you know, would be willing to do that? Not many, you know, and then to take all the shots. So he would change minds. He would actually change minds, especially minority minds. And that's what the left cannot tolerate. If they lose their minority base, they lose their party. And they keep their party through indoctrination and keeping the minority base not doing well. What I say, they toss us breadcrumbs, you know, instead of saying, if you work hard, you can buy all the ingredients and build a loaf of bread as big as you want. You know, they don't want us to do that because that hurts their party and that hurts their drive for power and financial wealth. And Charlie fought that like we all do, but the difference is Charlie was able to make a difference where most of us have failed with the youth vote. And for that, I think he will be terribly missed. I don't know who will replace him. I think it won't be one person for a few generations, but he's built an infrastructure so strong, it's not going to go away. Some movements die with the death of their leader. This one will not. It will grow. And I think, guys, in 2026, we are going to see a massive push here by TPUSA. I think if this is similar to kicking an anthill and they all go crazy, I think that's what's happened here with the youth. And with that, my friends, I'll pass around any final comments here before we close the show out. Gee.
No, beautifully said.
Miss Ingrid. I'm sorry, Ingrid. Arnie, before we lose him.
I mean, well, the only thing I have to say is that, Charlie, may you rest in peace. We will carry on your legacy.
There you go. Ingrid.
Yeah, Charlie spoke the truth, and I hope that I'm also able to help continue on his legacy and that more good comes out from this than evil.
And with that, my friends, that has been tonight's episode of Fired Up, your source for Friday Night Conservative Talk. I am William Del Pilar. Do not forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. You can find this podcast, other podcasts, and you can find our new swag. And I didn't show our swag over the last 2 days or 2 shows. I just didn't think it was appropriate. But you can support our all-volunteer cause. We have shirts, hats, and mugs over there, and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, y Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. God, I love it when I get to roll my R's every once in a while. And with that, my friends, I am William Del Pilar for G, Ingrid, and Arnie. And until next week, stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Good night. Have a good weekend. Take care, guys.